Well, good evening and welcome to the midweek prayer meeting here from Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. I welcome you all in the Saviour's name, to all here in the building and all here watching online as well. We're going to just commence tonight by singing the hymn, hymn 521. It is the hymn, God made me for himself to serve him here, with love's pure service and in filial fear, to show his praise for him to labour now, then see his glories where the angels bow. And after we get our introduction, let's remain seated and we'll sing this joyfully on to the Lord. We're just going to commence our worship, our meeting tonight, and we're going to pray unto God. Just as we're coming to prayer, just have a special announcement to make. It's a man by the name of James Stevenson. He is the brother of Carl Holmes. He's been taken into Causeway tonight with a bleed on the brain. The family would appreciate your prayers at this time, and we'll mention him in the prayer now, but also even when we come to the time of prayer. So the name's James Stevenson, and I'm sure the family will value your prayers. So let's come and let's pray and let's seek the Lord's face even now. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we just thank thee for another day. Lord, we thank thee for another day in this earth where we can come and we can meet even thee tonight in thy house. We thank thee for the open door here in Ballymoney. We thank thee for even this church and for the church that preaches Christ. We thank thee for this meeting here tonight and for the time that has been set aside to come and to open the Word of God, to study thy truths and even to see new truths that are revealed in the Word of God. We pray even as we're able to sing those great hymns tonight, Lord, we thank thee for the ability to sing and the ability to praise thee in song also. We think of this dear man, James Stevenson, Lord, and we think of the Holmes family at this time. We pray for them especially that you will just even touch this man physically, that you would be with him, that you would even help him as he's down in the hospital at this moment. We pray that you will just perfect that which concerneth him, that all things will be well with him, that we will see improvement. Even as we're praying here at this time, we think of the Holmes family at this time as well. We pray that you would comfort them, you would be unto them all that they need, and Lord, that they would know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of the Saviour. We pray for our meeting tonight. We pray that we would see Christ, that Christ will come amongst us, that we would know his presence here in this very building, each and every one of us from pew to pew, that the Holy Ghost would come and fill us all with God, thy Holy Ghost and Spirit. We pray even for the reading of Scripture in a little while. We thank thee for the Word of God. We thank thee that we have the Word of God in our own mother tongue, and that we can read it, we can study it each and every day of our lives. We thank thee for this great privilege, and may we never take it for granted that we have the Word of God. And Lord, may you just even reveal new truths to us day by day. We thank thee again tonight for Christ. We thank thee for our great salvation. We thank thee we can come tonight as sinners saved by grace. We come tonight to the cross of Calvary, and we thank thee for the blood. We thank thee for the blood of Christ that has cleansed even the deepest and darkest of sin. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that thou hast done it all on Calvary's tree, and each and every one of us can say amen to that cry that it is finished. We pray tonight also just for the many needs of the church here. We think of the minister. We pray for the Reverend Park. We thank thee for him and for all that he means to us and for his labors here, even in this little corner of the vineyard. We pray for him and his wife at this time as they're away and they're having a bit of a break. We pray that you would refresh him physically, spiritually, and all mentally also, Lord, that you would just be with him and he would come back with a zeal and with new vigor for the work here. We pray too for our missionaries tonight. We think of them. We pray for them as they stand at mission stations, as they would even preach Christ up and down this world. Lord, there are so many needs that we could pray for tonight, and we thank that we can come to a God who hears and answers prayer. We pray for even Simon Anderson at this time. We think of him as he would come this Lord's Day. We thank thee for him and for even saving him. We thank thee for calling him into the ministry and for even seeing him through this 4 years in college. We pray that he would come on Sunday with the Word of God and that he would even have a word in season for each and every one of our hearts. Bless his family, be with him at this time, even as he's finished college and as he seeks the Lord's will for his life. We pray, Lord, that you would just lead him and guide him in the path that he would go. Lord, we just pray now and ask that you would continue with us. There's so many things we could pray for. And, oh Lord, we pray that you would just come now and answer them, that you would come and just be our number and be our portion. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for your honor and for your glory alone. Amen. Well, I've been asked to give the announcements tonight. There isn't too many. Thankfully, I'm not comfortable with this. Mr. Park is a bit of an old hand, I guess, at this. But I just want to give you all a welcome tonight in the Saviour's name. It's good to have you all in the church building. It's good to see you all. And I assume we have some smiling faces back, as I can't see, of course, with the masks. But it's good that you're here. We pray and thank thee also for those who are tuning in online. We thank thee for the online means that we have for sermon audio and for Facebook and for YouTube as well. And we give you a welcome also in the Saviour's name. The announcements are as follows. This Lord's Day, we begin with prayer at 8 a.m. on Zoom. I pray that if you can make it, if it's something that is available to you, I pray that you would come and that you would meet God in prayer even as we commence the Lord's Day on Sunday. We also have our Lord's Day services at the normal time, the worship service at 12 noon, and the gospel service at 7 p.m. And as I intimated in my opening prayer, the preacher is Mr. Simon Anderson. He is, of course, no stranger to us in Ballymoney. He is our student assistant. He's been here for most of the year. And we just ask that you pray for him as he comes on this Lord's Day. We pray for him as well and his family as they seek God's will for their life. Just want to thank you also for your tithes and offerings on behalf of God's work here in Ballymoney. I'm sure this session, the committee and Mr. Park would like me to pass on their thanks, even for all that he's doing for your generous giving here in Ballymoney. I think that is all in the way of announcements. As I said, there wasn't too many announcements, so Mr. Park has been very kind to me in that. We're just going to come now and we're going to sing our second hymn tonight. It's a great hymn of prayer. It says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Again, after we get the introduction, we'll just remain seated and we'll sing it even unto the Lord. Thank you. to turn now to our scripture reading. I'm going to turn to the book of Jonah, please. Jonah chapter 1, just the end of the chapter, and Jonah chapter 2 also. It is my plan, God willing, both this week and next week, to do a little series just on this man Jonah, and particularly in the prayer that we read of here in Jonah chapter 2. So we'll look at some aspects of it even tonight, and God willing, next week as well, we'll look at a few other different aspects that we see here in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and the verse 15. Let's hear even the word of God tonight. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me, thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. And we'll end our reading there at the end of chapter 2. And we just trust and pray that the Lord will even bless that word to your hearts tonight. We're going to come now just to God's word, to the preaching of the word. But before that, with your Bibles open, perhaps we'll just again seek the Lord's help in a word of prayer. I know I need his help. Of course, there's always nerves in your preaching, but I pray even that God would help tonight. So let's pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for the aspects that we've had even tonight so far. We thank thee for the opening prayer. We thank thee for these hymns that we've been able to sing, and we thank thee for the word of God. Oh Lord, we pray even now that thou would come and that thou would be our portion and our stay, be one of our number. I pray that you would come tonight and fill this preacher with God the Holy Ghost. Take away any fears, take away any nerves that I would have, Lord, and I pray that you would just come and you would just be with us. Lord, we look to thee tonight. We pray that you would hide me behind the cross tonight, and none would be seen save Jesus Christ. That it would be God's word tonight, that it would be God's truth that are revealed tonight. It would be nothing of man, that all of man would fall to the ground and be as dross. And Lord, we just pray that you would burn it up. So Lord, just come bless, come and undertake, and just be with us. And may it be a word in season to all our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Queen Elizabeth II, Winston Churchill, Donald Trump, Adolf Hitler, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, LeBron James, Tiger Woods. I'm sure all of us here tonight have heard at least one of these very famous people. Perhaps some of you tonight have heard of each and every one of them. They are very famous, of course. Some are infamous for accomplishing great things, and others, of course, are infamous for great acts of evil. But what of a 56-year-old man by the name of Michael Packard? How many here tonight can say that this is a name that is familiar to them? You see, on the 12th of June this year, whilst reading, going through the BBC News website, I came across a news article that was unlike anything I'd ever read in my life before. You see, this man, Michael Packard, along with another member of his crew, he was out in a boat doing what he had done for the past 40 years. He was diving off Cape Cod in Boston, Massachusetts, in search of lobster. He was a lobster fisher. He described the day there as no different to any other. The conditions, they were excellent, they were perfect. Just what you needed to go lobster fishing. He also said that water visibility was 20 feet, and I believe that that is also important when you're going to catch lobster, and not that I have any experience in that, of course. Yet little did he know that he, as he dived off the boat that day, that he would have an experience unlike any other that he'd had before. You see, not long after entering the water, he speaks of having felt a bump in his back. A bump in his back and then total darkness. His initial reaction was that he'd been swallowed by a great white shark. You see, great white sharks are known for swimming in that part of Cape Cod. Yet upon further investigation, he felt that there was no sharp teeth. His next thought then was, oh no, I've been swallowed by a humpback whale. He speaks of having thought of his wife, having thought of his two sons whilst being inside that whale's mouth. You see, he thought he was going to die. He was wondering what was going to happen to his wife and children because he believed that was the end. Yet 30 to 40 seconds later, we find this man being flung across Cape Cod with nothing more than a dislocated knee for his trouble. You see, humpback whales, they are what are called a baleen whale. And that means they don't have sharp teeth like a shark does. But they have this substance called baleen, and for those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically the same texture, the same consistency as your yard brush. So it's quite bristly, quite hairy, and quite rough. And humpback whales, they use this substance called baleen to trap their prey. You see, they have a diet that consists mostly of small fish, of krill, and of plankton. It is also known about the humpback whale that its throat is only 4 to 8 inches in diameter, and therefore that would make it nearly impossible to swallow a human whole. This, of course, was fortunate for Michael Packard, because once the whale realized its mistake, then he got distressed, he got angsty, and he threw Michael Packard out from any further danger. He dislodged him from the mouth of the whale. And yet, as I read this story, I couldn't help think of the account of Jonah. I couldn't help think about how something similar happened to this man, yet something more remarkable also. You see, the Bible speaks of Jonah being swallowed whole by a great fish. But what makes this story even more miraculous is that Jonah wasn't swallowed for 30 seconds. He wasn't in the mouth. He wasn't in the mouth. He was in its stomach. He wasn't there for 30 seconds. He was there for 3 days and 3 nights. Can you only imagine the lack of oxygen, the stomach acid that would have been there, the noxious gases inside of that whale's stomach? It surely wouldn't have been a pleasant experience, and it's hard even for us to understand, surely, how a man could survive for that long. Yet we read here in Jonah chapter 2 of the experience that he had. We read particularly here in Jonah chapter 2 of the details of the prayer that Jonah offered up unto God. And both tonight and, God willing, next week, I want to look at a few aspects of this prayer life of Jonah here. The prayer here we see in Jonah chapter 2, and tonight for our subject, we're going to simply look at Jonah's prayer of distress. Tonight we're going to look at the subject of Jonah's prayer of distress. The first thing that we see regarding this prayer of distress is the purpose for Jonah's prayer. The first thing we see is the purpose for Jonah's prayer, because we see here in Jonah chapter 2 that he finds himself distressed. His distress, it is a direct result of his previous actions in Jonah chapter 1. You see, the book of Jonah, it opens with God's commissioning Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh to preach against their wicked behavior. He is told to go to Nineveh to tell these people to repent and to turn to God. Yet what does Jonah do? I'm sure we know the answer to this. Well, Jonah, he ignores the call of God, doesn't he? He gets on a ship, he heads in the opposite direction to the city of Nineveh. You know, such was the hatred that Jonah had for the Ninevite people that he got on a boat from Joppa and traveled 550 miles toward Nineveh. Rather than doing that, he went 2,500 miles in the opposite direction towards the city of Tarshish. Yet we read in the rest of Jonah chapter 1 of God's absolute sovereignty over the situation, because Jonah believed that he could run from the call of God. But you see, God already had a plan in place that would see Jonah brought back to Nineveh. We read that whilst out on the sea, Jonah, he encountered a fierce storm. Jonah responded to this storm by trying to run further. He went down below deck and he tried to sleep it off. He tried to sleep through the storm. But after the storm raged on and the storm got worse, the sea captain came down, he knocked the door, and he told Jonah to get up. And what did they do? The sailors and Jonah, they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And it was that moment in time that the sailors realized that the storm was because of Jonah's disobedience. And what they did, they threw him overboard. They threw him straight into the Mediterranean Sea. You know, Jonah's behavior here to this point, it was sinful. And what Jonah didn't realize was that his sin, it didn't only have consequences for him, but it had consequences for other people also. You see, the storm, it was for the benefit, it was for the correction of Jonah here. But at the same time, his own sinful actions, it jeopardized many other people. You see, it threatened Jonah's life, but it also threatened the life of the sailors on board. And it also threatened the lives of those many other people who would have been on their boats at the same time in the Mediterranean Sea. And we see tonight that sin always has consequences, doesn't it? It has consequences, and that should act as a warning to us tonight. Because it shows that our sin, it doesn't only have consequences for us, but it also has consequences for those that are closest to us. And as Jonah sunk down to the depths of the sea here, Jonah should have died. Jonah should have died, but we see the amazing grace of God, because not only did God here send the storm, but God also prepared the fish that would swallow Jonah and save his life. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about my own salvation, and I'm sure we all can say the same, because tonight we too are undeserving of the grace of God. You see, our sinful behavior should have resulted in us spending an eternity in hell. Yet God had a plan for us too, and he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. But you know, you have to wonder what would have been going on here in Jonah's mind as that fish had swallowed him. Surely, initially, he would have been thinking to himself, where am I? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to die? Is this the end? It is important for us to note at this point that this distress was Jonah's own making. It was Jonah's own fault, his own making, that he was inside the belly of this fish. You see, he was outside of the will of God. He had disobeyed the call of God to go to Nineveh, and this disobedience had brought consequences for Jonah. You know, remember my own call to the ministry. I remember, like Jonah, I tried to run from that call, but after some time I realized that I couldn't run from God. Because no matter where I went, the call of God followed me around. And you know, I was only truly happy when I submitted to the Lord and obeyed the call to go and to serve him. But perhaps this experience of Jonah is the same experience as someone here tonight is feeling. Maybe someone listening in tonight, and you too have felt the call of God. God has been speaking to you, maybe not to go into full-time service for him, but to do something for him. And so far you've ignored the command to go, you've ignored the call of God. And tonight finds you outside of the will of God, and perhaps you too are distressed. It's got to such a point where it's affecting your personal life, affecting your private life. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't think about anything else, and it's affecting you physically, it's affecting you mentally. Well, have you not considered perhaps that the reason for this distress is because you're outside the will of God? And God, he is bringing about difficult circumstances in order to bring you back to him in order for you to obey the call. Now, I must add tonight, distress, of course, isn't always as a result of being outside of the will of God. You see, distress is also because it is a product of the fallen and sinful world that we live in. But generally speaking, we end up in distress because we don't do what God commands us to do. We often try to do things our own way, when if we had have done things God's way, we would have saved ourselves much heartache, we would have saved ourselves much trouble in the first place. You see, tonight here, the purpose of Jonah's prayer. But secondly, tonight we see also the place of Jonah's prayer. We see tonight here also the place of Jonah's prayer, because look with me here in Jonah chapter 2 again. Because first we see the place Jonah was physically. Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 1 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." You see, physically Jonah here was in the belly of a fish, somewhere in the deepest, the darkest depths of the Mediterranean Sea. He was far from land, he was far from safety, he was far from home. And it's hard to imagine, is it not, what would have been worse for Jonah? Would have been worse for him to have been thrown overboard and thinking he was going to drown? Or would it have been worse to have been experiencing what he was experiencing inside the belly of this great fish? Jonah, he describes his own experience here in verse 2 because he says he likens the belly of the fish to the belly of hell. The word for hell here, it is the Hebrew word Sheol. The word Sheol can refer to death, it can refer to the grave, it can refer to the pit. And this is accurate here, is it not? Because Jonah believed that he would die inside of this fish. Jonah believed that this fish would have been the end of him. The idea is further emphasized for us in Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 6. It says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. You know, when I read these words, the picture I get tonight is that of a prison cell. Jonah, he would have been thrown inside, the door closed behind him, and the key thrown away. Jonah would have been surrounded by metal bars, and he felt like he'd no way out. It is important to see here tonight that yes, despite he was physically far from God, he felt like he was in prison. Yet Jonah recognized that he was still able to pray to God. Jonah still had the ability to pray, and not only was Jonah able to pray, but he also seen that God could answer and hear his prayers. We see that in Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 2, because it says there, And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Yes, Jonah may have felt here like he was in a physical prison, shut away from physical contact on his own, away from everybody else, but he still had both access, he still had communion with God here. You know, that is a privilege that every Christian has, because every Christian can come to God in prayer at any time. We just think of the last 18 months. We've experienced here in our own church the opening and closing of our church doors. We've read, of course, on the news of people being imprisoned for preaching the gospel. But one thing that cannot change is our ability to pray. You see, Paul and Silas, they were able to pray when they were in prison. Daniel was able to pray when he was in the lion's den. John was able to pray when he was on the Isle of Patmos. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to pray in the fiery furnace. And you know, the point I'm trying to make here is we mustn't limit prayer to a religious setting. We mustn't limit prayer to a church building. Because what does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse 8? Well, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. And you may be at home tonight listening in. You may be unable to get to the prayer meeting tonight because of legitimate reasons. Perhaps you've been struggling to come to terms with this. Perhaps it's come as a shock to you. You're distressed. You're feeling down about it. Well, I want you to take encouragement tonight here from the words of Jonah. Because Jonah here too found himself far from the house of God, yet he could still pray to God. He could still pray to God, and God could still hear that prayer. And next week we will see that God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer despite the physical separation that Jonah felt. But there isn't only the place Jonah was physically, but we must also see tonight the place that Jonah was spiritually. We must also see the place that he was spiritually, because it is obvious Jonah's disobedience had led to spiritual separation from God. You see, Jonah's relationship with God, it wasn't what it once was. It wasn't what it used to be. However, despite all of this, we read in Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 1, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God. Jonah here was able to call him his God. Maybe there's one listening tonight, and like Jonah, you're far from God. It would be true of me tonight to say that your relationship with him was not what it used to be. Perhaps your experience is similar to that of King David. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 32. To Psalm 32, please. We have here in Psalm 32, it's one of David's penitential psalms, a psalm of lament, a psalm of great anguish. But read with me the words of verse 4 here. It says, For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. You see, David here in the psalm, he says that his spiritual walk with God had been affected by his own sinful behavior. And David was miserable here because of it. Yet things changed for David when he acknowledged his sin, because read what he says in verse 5. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You see, David realized here the confession brought about restoration. And if tonight finds you far from God, then I'm saying to you tonight that you too can be restored by acknowledging your sin, by acknowledging that your circumstances are of your own doing. You see, as I said, spiritually, Jonah, he was far from God. Yet at the same time, in Jonah chapter 2, we have evidence that he knew his Bible well. Jonah knew his Bible well. He was well versed in the scriptures. And I say that because when you go down Jonah chapter 2, when you go down near enough every single verse of the chapter, we will find that it is either a quotation or an allusion to one of the Psalms. That's something I didn't know before studying this, so it was a real blessing even to my own soul, and I trust it will be the same to you. You see, in verse 2, Jonah uses the language of Psalm 120. In verse 3, it's Psalm 69. In verse 4, it's Psalm 5 and Psalm 31. Verse 5, it's Psalm 69. Verse 6, it's Psalm 30. Verse 7, Psalm 88, Psalm 142. The verse 8, it's Psalm 31. And verse 9, he speaks from Psalm chapter 3, Psalm chapter 42, and Psalm chapter 50. And you might think that's remarkable, because just think of that tonight. You know, does this not remind us of how important it is to pray God's word back to him? The importance of pleading the promises of Scripture to God with the belief that God is able to answer our petitions. You know, when I think of that tonight, when I read this prayer of Jonah, it reminds me that of the Psalm 119, because surely this is what the psalmist thought. Psalm 119 in the verse 11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, Jonah's prayer here, I believe, highlights for us tonight how important it is for parents to teach their children to both read and to commit God's word to memory. It should also be an encouragement tonight to Sunday school teachers. It should be an encouragement also to youth workers, children's workers. Because it shows us the importance of learning our memory verses as children, doesn't it? You know, Jonah was in the belly of a fish here. It was pitch black. Most likely, Jonah didn't have a Bible with him. It's very unlikely that he would have. But even if Jonah had a Bible with him, he had no light with which to read it. And therefore, everything that Jonah prayed here in Jonah chapter 2, it was that which he had committed to memory. We could apply that universally tonight, old and young here in the church, even listening at home also. It shows the importance of daily being in God's word, doesn't it? It shows the importance of saturating yourselves with the word of God. It shows the importance of committing God's word to memory. Because if we do that, if we are ever in God's word, if we ever try and commit it to memory, if we're ever in God's word and saturated by it, surely we will be better witnesses to the unsaved. It will also bring us into closer communion with God also. You see, we've seen tonight the purpose of Jonah's prayer. We've seen also the place of Jonah's prayer, the place he was physically, the place he was spiritually. But the third thing tonight that we see is the place, or the person, sorry, that Jonah prayed to. The third and final thing tonight, we see the person that Jonah prayed to. Again, look again with me at the words of Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 1. It says, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He says, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. You see, up until this point, Jonah had made many wrong decisions. Yet in Jonah chapter 2 and the verse 1, he now makes a right decision because he prays to the Lord. He brings his petitions to God. You see, no details here in Jonah are given. No details are given in regards to how long it took him to get to this point. It's my belief that upon entering the belly of this fish that Jonah would have had the attitude, I don't need to pray to God. You know, I don't need God, I can sort these things out myself. I believe that would have been his attitude. He would have most likely been bitter, stubborn over the hand that had been dealt with him. He may have even been bitter toward the Lord here. And because of this, I believe that Jonah spent those 3 days and those 3 nights in the belly of that fish. He would have spent that time lamenting over his circumstances and feeling sorry for himself. And I believe that only when his heart had softened enough that he prayed to the Lord. And this is my view because of the transition that we read between Jonah chapter 1 and Jonah chapter 2. You see, in Jonah chapter 1 and the verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." And then read these words in Jonah chapter 2 and the verse 1, because it says, "Then Jonah prayed." He says there, "Then Jonah prayed." Now, I don't know about you, but that seems an awful long time to wait to pray. Because if it was me, I'm pretty sure that I would have been praying as hard as I could as soon as that fish had swallowed me. As soon as I was going down that fish's gullet, I would have been praying to God. But does that not just show us tonight the place that Jonah was in? The place Jonah was in terms of his relationship with God. You know, I believe it gives a warning to us tonight to guard ourselves. To guard ourselves from ever getting ourselves into such a situation of bitterness that Jonah had. Because you see, God had to bring Jonah to rock bottom here. He had to bring him to the place where Jonah would stop relying on himself. Stop relying on his own abilities, his own ways. But Jonah had to start trusting in God. You see, Jonah found himself with no place to run here. He had no place to hide, and he was faced with the reality of his previous decisions. And it was only then that Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Again, perhaps there's one tonight here and you felt the call of God in your life to do something for him. At this point, you've ignored the call. Well, in light of what we've been considering tonight, is it not time you stopped ignoring it? Is it not time that you said yes to the Lord? Is it not time that you said, "Yes, I'll do that, Lord. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll obey the call, Lord." Because only when you and I are found in the center of God's will can we experience true happiness. The truth is, if we remain outside the will of God, it will only lead to bitterness. It will only lead to more difficulty, only more distress. Another truth is this, that no matter how far we try to run, the truth is we cannot run. We cannot outrun God, can we? We cannot outrun God. And therefore, as we bring the message here this evening to a close, I just want to apply what I have been considering to myself, but also to each and every individual who is listening here, because Jonah was in distress. But Jonah eventually realized there was no hope in himself, no hope in the world, but that his only hope was found in the Lord. You know, that's a truth that each and every one of us need to see also. Our only hope is found in the Lord. You see, too often we try to fix things ourselves, don't we? Too often we ignore the means of prayer that is available to us. And too often at times we think we know better than God. Well, the truth of the matter is that we can do nothing without God. We need God for everything in our life because without God we can accomplish nothing. And to believe otherwise it is to sin against God. And you're living in sin, it will only bring distress, it will only bring misery. And therefore, I urge you tonight and myself also, rather than running from God, rather than running from the place of prayer, it is my desire tonight that we would come afresh to God tonight, that we would come again to Him in prayer tonight with the belief that He alone is able to bring about change in our circumstances. That God alone can provide for our individual needs, for our collective needs here as a church. Because if tonight finds you in a difficult place, then I want you to take encouragement. Take encouragement because God can do for you and I what He did for Jonah. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you've been praying for a family member, praying for a loved one for a very long time, and you see no change. They're still hard against the gospel. Their heart is hard against God. Again, take encouragement because just as God changed the heart of Jonah here, you know, God can do that for them too. You just need to keep praying. The truth tonight is we all need to pray, don't we? You know, we all have things to pray for. We all have burdens. We all have worries. We should, of course, be praying for one another. That's what we should do as Christians, pray for one another. But you know, just now as we come to prayer, we must thank God tonight. Must thank God tonight because we come to one who is able. We come to one who hears our prayers. And most importantly of all, we come to a God who answers prayers. Amen. We're just going to close the meeting in prayer just before we come to our time of prayer. So let's just end the meeting now in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the means of grace that finds us here tonight again. We thank thee, Lord, for the truth that has been revealed in this little portion of Jonah. We thank thee that old Jonah found him in a distressful situation, in a discouraging situation for him, yet he was still able to cry unto God. Still able to cry unto God, and God answered that prayer and delivered Jonah. And we pray tonight as we would come to him and as we would seek him, even at the time of prayer, that we would even come with this same renewed faith in a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank thee for the time we've spent together in God's word. We thank thee for the scriptures tonight. We pray that we would even just hide God's word in our heart. Come and bless. Come and be with us. Be with us in the time of prayer now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we come now to the time of prayer, we have, of course, a slide here above us. It's a familiar slide to us all. Just pray for the ministry here at Hebron. Of course, the Reverend Park is on a well-deserved holiday at the moment, but we just pray for him, pray for his wife, just that they would feel refreshed and reinvigorated as they have a break and as they even think about coming back to continue the work here in Hebron. Pray also for gospel opportunities. Pray for conversions. There are difficult days, of course, that we're living in, just with everything that's going on, and people seem to have got hard to the gospel. But, you know, God is still able. God can still save. You know, it's good we're not relying on our own ability to see souls saved, but we can rely on God tonight, and therefore we need to continue to pray for opportunities and pray for conversions. Pray also for the children, the youth workers, the seniors of the church, the office bearers, all the workers and the students also. I think especially of Simon at this time. Stephen Nelson also. These two men have finished Bible college, and also another man, Jonathan Wilson, who's an external student from England. Just need to pray for these men as well, that God will give them a church, that he'll unite a congregation with these men, and that these empty pulpits will be filled. Pray for their wives as well and their children. We often forget to pray about the wives, and something I've learned this past year is that without a wife, it's very difficult to maintain a home, especially whenever you're in Bible college. So just pray for them. Pray for the missionary work as well. It was good to see Noreen with us recently, and it's great to see the work that's going on there in Uganda. Pray for her, pray for the other missionaries as well, just that God's word will continue to go out. And pray also for missionaries to go into Bible college, missionaries to go out and to hear the call of God and to even serve him in the mission field. And finally, pray for the National Health Service as well. We've been praying for them for a long time. They're such a vital part of our society. We thank thee for them and for all that they've done. Of course, we're starting to see some numbers rise again, and we trust and pray that things will not get so bad again, that the NHS will be overrun. But we just pray for them, especially the ones that are dear to us here in Hebron. I think also the sick and needy, there are many here on the list. Take them upon your heart. I think of Aaron there, Nigel, Chrissy Blair, Dr. Bill Woods, Reverend Fitzsimons, Dr. Wilson, Moira, Martha, and others as well. Just leave this list here as we come to prayer, and we're just going to do that now. We're just going to come to God. We're going to pray unto him. It's a great privilege, a great honor to pray. We also remember this man, James Stevens, as well as I remember James Stevenson, the brother of Carl Holmes. Pray for him. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon him and that he would be restored to a full measure of health and strength. We're just going to come to the time of prayer now. I'm just going to leave it open to whoever wants to pray, and just whenever you feel led, come in, pray unto the Lord, and even just pray now. So let's come now. I'll leave it open.
Thank thee for thy word to our hearts and to our souls this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for that timely reminder that it's so easy to step out of the will of God and to be led into bypath meadows, Lord, we do ask of thee that thou wilt protect us from the wiles of the devil as a blood-bought band of people. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that although this man Jonah disobeyed thy word, that thou didst not leave him lost and low, but that thou didst go after him. And Lord, we think of all the events that unfolded, how there was money in his pocket, how there was a ship to board, how there was that great tempestuous sea that was about to overturn, as it were, the boat, and yet, Lord, thou had prepared another vessel for him. And Lord, we do thank thee for the very fact that whilst thy servant was in the whale, the belly of the whale, Lord, he remembered thee. And Lord, we do think oftentimes of those difficult days in our own life when we have, as it were, wandered, and then we have pondered upon thee, then we have remembered the Lord and thy goodness to us, thy saving grace in our lives, the keeping power of God. And Lord, we just rejoice that thou hast kept us married, as it were, to the Saviour of sinners. Oh, how we thank thee that Christ is married, even to the backslider. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for this timely word this evening. We do pray for our students. We pray for Greg and Rebecca, for their family. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt bless them with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Grant that thou wilt continue to undertake for our brother as he labours in the word and as he enters in September the next year in this Bible course. We pray that he might know the promptings of the Spirit, even in his own heart and soul and life. We think of David and of Johnny. Again, Lord, we thank thee for revealing thyself to these young men and for calling them into the Christian ministry and into the work of God. And we pray that you will make them preachers of the word and winners of precious souls, even in the days which lie ahead. Give them souls for their hire, we pray. And grant that they might be an asset to the visible church of the Lord Jesus. We do ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember this man, James Stevenson. We commend him to thy care, to thy keeping. We pray that thou wilt draw alongside him in the Causeway Hospital. Grant that it might please thee to touch his body and to raise him to a full measure of health and of strength. We pray especially for his family and for Carol, for the Holmes family. Undertake for them, Lord, and grant that they might be able to see James restored to a full measure of health and strength in the very near future. We do pray for the boys and girls of the Sabbath School and our young people as they are on vacation at this time. We pray that thou wilt keep thy hand upon them. Keep them near to thee, we pray, and grant that thou wilt be pleased to bless them. And again, Lord, we do think of the services in this house on the Lord's Day. We pray for our brother Simon, that as he comes along to break unto us the bread of life, that thou wilt be pleased to pour out thy Spirit upon him. Use thy servant, and grant that thou wilt speak once more through thy written truth. We do ask that thou wilt bless our pastor and his wife. We pray that you will give him an enjoyable time away, and grant that thou wilt return him to the fellowship here, restored in body, soul and spirit, ready to do thy work and to do thy will. Again, Lord, we do think of the unsaved that gather with us on the Lord's Day. We think of those that came out there to the open air in Cabra. And we pray, Lord, that you might bring them in this Lord's Day under the sound of thy truth. We ask that thou wilt make bare thine arm of salvation and sweep them into the kingdom of our God. We think of our sister Martha. Bless her, we pray. Raise her to a full measure of health and of strength. We think of Nigel. We thank thee for him, Lord. We pray that very soon he may experience the touch of God, the help of God in his life, and that he too might be raised to health and strength. Thou dost know all those that we know and love on that prayer list. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw graciously near and grant that they might know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name.
Thank you for the one who brought it to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for how you have called them to serve thee. And pray, Lord, that you will bless them and bless all our students, Lord. We pray that you'll be with each one of them. And Lord, over the summer, that you will give them a time of rest before they would recommence their studies. Remember our brother Simon as well. We pray for him. Pray, Lord, that thou would see fit to call him to your work, Lord, even at the end of the term. Lord, we just pray for him as he comes to speak to us on the Lord's day, that you'll give him travel mercies, that you'll bring him here safely. And Lord, he might know thy hand of blessing, even as he would preach thy word. Remember us, thy people, Lord. We pray that thou wilt be with us, Lord, that thou wilt even help us to listen and to learn from thy word as it goes forth. As we sing thy praise, as we read thy word, O Lord, on the Lord's day, as the word goes forth, we pray, Lord, that you to us all. Lord, we'll be encouraged and instructed from thy precious word. Lord, we just give thee thanks, Lord, for the fellowship here, Lord, and for each one, Lord, in our congregation. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will bless them over the summer. And we pray particularly for our pastor at this time and for his wife as they are away on a break, Lord. We pray that you will be with them, that you will refresh them, Lord, you will bring them back, Lord. Reinvigorate, Lord, even to do the work that thou hast called them to here in Hebron. And Lord, remember the boys and girls and the young people in the fellowship as well, particularly over the summer. Lord, we pray that you will bless them, Lord, and that the things that they have learned even in past days, Lord, will be brought back to their minds again, Lord, even over the summertime. That you'll keep our young people reading thy word and seeking thy face in prayer. The children of our Sabbath school, Lord, likewise, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with them, keep your hand upon them. Lord, we pray that as youth challenge has commenced, Lord, we see many of them even coming back to youth challenge, Lord, during the summer. But Lord, remember those who can't join with us. Think of those who are sick, Lord, those who are laid aside this time, and we pray that you will be with them, Lord, that they will enjoy even in their own homes, Lord, the blessing that we enjoy as we meet here together. So, Lord, throughout this week and as we head towards the weekend, Lord, we pray that you will bless. As the Lord's Day comes and as the gospel message is proclaimed once again, O Lord, we pray that you will bring some precious soul out of darkness into light. And, Lord, that you'll save some lost one, Lord, some wandering one. Some backslider that has wandered away from thee, they will be brought back to the fold. Lord, we think of those who have been prayed for so often in these prayer meetings, Lord. Members of families of our congregation who are still out of Christ, young people who have come through our Sabbath school and our youth fellowship. Tonight, Lord, they're still far away from thee. Oh, Lord, we just pray that even this week, Lord, as thy word goes forth, O Lord, that you will bring some precious soul to thyself. For we ask it for thy name's sake.
Pray, Lord, that you speak to all politicians regarding abortion. And pray, Lord, that they would come out very strongly against it. Pray, Lord, you speak to all Christians regarding abortion. And they too would take a very strong stand against it. And pray, Lord, that you will help. Pray, Lord, that you lay your hand upon James Dixon and that you restore him to full our health and strength. These things ask and pray. And just pray, Lord, your will be done, Lord, and you will undertake through, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things ask and pray, as we pray, Lord, for you. Thanks and praise be to you, Lord, and glory be to you, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word to our hearts. And it means in each time we hear these stories, Lord, how many messages we can take from them, and different messages maybe even each time, Lord. And I thank you for your message tonight, Lord. And I pray for the people of Balmoney, Lord, especially those that have recently tested positive of this COVID, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would rescue them, that you'd raise them up once again, Lord. And I pray for them, Lord, that they would not leave it even 3 days before they would come to you in prayer. I pray, Lord, that you'd heal them. And I pray for those in the hospital, Lord, I pray especially for Jim this evening, Lord, that you'd be with him, that you'd speak to him, Lord, that you'd give him grace and mercy and heal him, Lord. And pray for our doctors and nurses, Lord, that you give them wisdom. Even this time, Lord, when there's peace and there's quietness maybe in the hospital, I pray that you would keep it that way, Lord. And I pray for our church, Lord, remember our pastor in his holiday time. I pray that you'd give him this break, Lord, that you'd revive him. That you give him your word, Lord, that you come back to us even with a new message. And pray for Simon this Sunday, Lord, that you'd bless him. Lord, we await his presence, and we pray, Lord, that you'd fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd fill this building, even in the morning of the prayer meeting, Lord, that you'd fill it with your Spirit, Lord. Fill each and every pew here in this church, Lord. That you'd fill Simon, Lord, that you'd speak to each and every one of us, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that like Jonah, Lord, we would not turn away from your calling, but, Lord, we accept your call. And if we're missing it, Lord, as we ask each and every night that you would use us, that we use our feet, Lord, take us to where you want us to go, that you use our hands, Lord, that we do the work you want us to do, that you use our ears, Lord, to listen to those that you point us in the direction of, that you use our lips, Lord. And, Lord, if we're missing your call, Lord, speak again. Direct us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All the work that's been done out in Poland and India and those
all certain places in Uganda, and all those Kenya too, keep hand upon him. And have a fellow Bessaman too, keep hand upon him and give him tribal nurses to him, keep a public hand upon him. And Heavenly Father, bless our families too, Lord, you know the need. I know, Lord, that grace is not handed down from Father to Son and Mother. But I know one thing, Lord, the sins of the Father's not on the Son, and the Son's not on the Father. Heavenly Father, then make your own way, Lord. Heavenly Father, keep hand upon him and bless him. And Heavenly Father, bless me now too, Lord. And Bobby, and McLaughlin, and our dear lady too, Lord. Keep hand upon every one of them, the sick people. Bless the sick of the church too. Bless all the boys and girls, Lord, and the sons of Jesus. Bless all the elders, Lord, and the community. Bless every part of it, even all of bless it, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we need a revival. Come again, Lord, and open up the windows of heaven and send us a mighty rushing wind and dig up the fallow ground. Lord, like Elijah, Lord, when he cried, Lord, and when he was by the brook, and the land was dried up, and he found the cruise of oil, Lord, and the cruise of water, and drunk. He raised him up, and Lord, raise us up, Lord. Heavenly Father, you know our needs, Lord, and bless us and guide us. Ask all these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. us Lord, the word that each of us need, and we pray, O Lord, that you will draw near in these days, pour out thy Spirit upon us. Remember those of our congregation here, how at this time it is permitted to be. We pray, O Lord, that you will put them really hard upon them. For those who have not been able to be out of church, we pray that very soon we will see them out again. Remember this man, James Stevenson, pray that thine hand will be upon him. Very soon, Lord, you will raise him to health and strength again. Pray for Mr. and Mrs. Park, Mr. Holiday, at this time, we pray that you will bless them, refresh them in their own souls. And, O Lord, we just pray that they will come back again here amongst us. In the coming days, Lord, we will do great and mighty things in our midst. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the God of revival. Lord, you're able to come and revive every one of us. We pray, Lord, that you will do set this church on fire for thee, and that we might see many, many souls brought in, brought to Christ. We think especially tonight of those who are on our hearts. We remember Tammy, and we pray, Lord, for Tammy and Clara, that you bring them out under the sanctuary of Lord. Pray for Philip, Lord, we ask that you would work in this young man's heart. Pray for Sean, others, Lord, who attend regularly. Lord, they need thee. So, Father, we just pray that you will bring many unto yourself. We leave our prayers before thee today. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the God who hears and who answers prayer. We pray that you will be with us throughout these days and keep us much in prayer. Lord, we pray that you'll make us men and women in prayer. Lord, that we might see a real breath of thy Spirit even across this town at this time. Do continue with us, Lord. Bless us here in our presence tonight. For Jesus' sake.
Gracious God and our Father in heaven, we just thank thee for the time of prayer that we've had. We thank thee for the prayers that have ascended both audibly and inaudibly. We pray, Lord, that you will just come and you will answer those prayers, answer those cries of your people, that we will as a church continue to pray, we will continue to put value in prayer, and that we will continue to look to thee for answered prayer. So Lord, just bless us now, be with us, we pray, and even just keep us till we meet again. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to close our service by singing a hymn. Hymn 467 is the hymn Trust and Obey. Words in the verse first go, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who we'll trust and obey. And after we get our introduction, we'll sing this unto the Lord, just verses 1, verses 3, and verses 5.
Thank you.
and Father in heaven, we thank thee for the time that we spent together in your house, and we thank thee even for that final hymn that we can trust and obey, and there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we pray that we would take even the message of the gospel home tonight with us, that we would even hide it in our hearts, and we just thank thee for the great privilege it has been to be here tonight. We pray that you will just even part us now with thy blessing, take us to your homes in safety until we meet again. Bless again in the Lord's day. Bless Simon and the family as they come and as they minister here in Hebron. Bless even that man again, and pray for that man, James Stevenson. We pray for the Holmes family also, that you would just be with them at this time, that you would raise this man up to a measure of health and strength, and that you would even just be their portion and stay of the Holmeses as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jean Elliott passed away earlier on today, so perhaps we can remember Jean in our own quiet time at home, and the Elliott family, I should say, that we can remember them in our quiet time. That's the wife of the late Reverend Ken Elliott.